On the 25th of January every year, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. And it's a great occasion to think about what it means to be a Christian today and to fulfill one's mission, to bring Christ to the world. As I've often said, we follow very much the rubric of modernity that says we should privatize our religion. It's not a public matter. Well, see, you just cannot understand the conversion of Paul and the mission of Paul under that distinctively modern rubric. You've got to look at it now in biblical terms. Paul and his followers who were declaring Jesus Christ got into a lot of trouble, and that's because they were not satisfied simply to remain private in their proclamation. To understand now what's going on with St. Paul, I think we have to go back a little bit in the Bible to the end of the Gospel of Luke. Of course, Luke writes his Gospel and also a second volume that we call the Acts of the Apostles. So the great story of Paul is really told largely by Luke. Here's now the very end of Luke's Gospel, after the Ascension. They, the apostles now, did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. Why the temple? Because one of the great expectations of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, was that he would represent the purification of Israel's temple. Once the temple was purified, Isaiah said, then all the nations would stream toward Jerusalem. The God of Israel would be rightly worshipped now, not just by Israel, but by the whole world. What he's saying here, a basic Christian conviction that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, is himself the new temple. So his followers now, his apostles, his mystical body, coming into the temple to praise God, it's evocative of this great Christian intuition. That's why as we look in the Acts of the Apostles, we see the first Christians are always in and around the temple. So Peter and John come into the temple by the beautiful gate, and they see this lame man, and they cure him. They are arrested while they're preaching in the temple precincts. There's a nice summary toward the end of the fifth chapter of Acts. It says, all day long, both at the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus. And there it is again, the Mashiach, the Anointed One, would cleanse the temple. So what they're saying is, the place of right praise has been established. And that means one thing, the nations are coming. Now, the whole Acts of the Apostles opens up to us. What do we hear now as Pentecost happens and the disciples come out in the street, you know, the people are there for the feast? What do we hear? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, the district of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome. What's being described there is people from all over the world have come. Why? Because the temple's been purified, and the true message of the God of Israel is being proclaimed. The universality, see, is on offer. Now, go a little bit further in the Acts of the Apostles, and we have that wonderful and strange story of the Ethiopian eunuch. The setting for this is after the stoning of Stephen. So St. Stephen, the first martyr, is stoned, and after that, the apostles stay in Jerusalem, but the rest of the community scatters. Well, that's God's providence. As they scatter, they can announce, see, the message to the whole world. Well, one of the people who scattered is Philip, and Philip goes south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And on that road, he spies this courtier of the Queen of Ethiopia. And this courtier, a well-educated man, obviously, because he's reading, not many people could read at the time, he's reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, reasonably enough, well, how can I? No one's here to explain it to me. And then Philip explains Isaiah and how Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah the prophet. Okay. Now, here's something that we're not going to get, but I don't think first century Jews would have missed. People that knew the prophet Isaiah. If you go to the 56th chapter of Isaiah, so right around the area where that Ethiopian eunuch is reading, you find this. For thus says the Lord, To the eunuchs who observe my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house a monument and a name. Better than sons and daughters, an eternal, imperishable name will I give them. Well, see, there's the Ethiopian eunuch, is himself the fulfillment of this prophecy. As Isaiah says, the temple has been purified, now the nations are coming. So it happens at Pentecost, it happens with the Ethiopian. Now, the next chapter, right after chapter 8, we have, of course, chapter 9, in which the conversion of Saul is described. Saul breathing murderous threats, but Christ appears to him on the road, right? And then he's knocked to the ground, he's blinded, he's led into Damascus, and Ananias, one of the disciples, receives a word from the Lord, and he refers to Saul, someone who frightened the Christian community. He was a persecutor, right? They're afraid of him. He says, don't be afraid of him. He is my chosen vessel, my chosen instrument, who will bring my name to the Gentiles. Again, the universality of the message, because the temple's been purified. Now, read the rest of Acts, is the story of Paul going all over the world, going to Ephesus, going to Cappadocia, going to Thessalonica, going to Athens, to Corinth, eventually to Rome. He wants to go to Spain, to the ends of the world. Same message, same message. The temple's been purified, and therefore everyone's got to know about it. Now, you say, okay, that's interesting, you know, ancient Christian history, but what does that have to do with me? Well, see, in a word, it's got everything to do with us. How wonderful that practically anyone listening to these words now, anyone watching this video, are from a continent that Paul never even knew about. He never knew North America even existed. You're hearing me in cities that he never dreamed of. And yet, because of him, you know about the God of Israel. Maybe explicitly, maybe you're a Christian, but even implicitly, if you know about the God of Israel, it's because of Paul, who is convinced that in Christ the temple was purified, and therefore that message has to go out to gather in all the nations. You're understanding this because of Paul. Now, to those Christians listening to me, this text of Luke is not called Acts of the Apostles. It's called in Greek Acts of Apostles. Not just the acts of these figures who lived long ago. What he's saying is they're the acts of any apostle, anyone that's been sent by Jesus. If you've heard the message of Jesus Christ and you know that the Mashiach has come and the temple's been purified, you got one job. Same job Paul had. Same job Philip had. Same job the first Christians had. Announce it. Announce it. This is not a privatized matter. It's meant to be announced now to all the world. We must, therefore, overcome this propensity toward privatization and interiorization of our Christianity. And we must, with confidence and nonviolence, do what Paul did. Proclaim the message of Jesus to the world. Now, you might say, okay, practically, how do I do that? Well, that's another video. There are a lot of things I could say. But I'll say one thing now. Take this video you've just listened to, send it to someone you think needs to hear the message of Jesus or needs to rehear it. That'd be a way that you could engage in the acts of an apostle.